Thank you, thank you. I'm going to go up here so I can see you guys. Can you hear me? Okay. Good, good, good. Now, first question I have is, who needs a nap? My belly's full, and I need a nap. If you go ahead and take one, little dude. It's not a problem. First of all, I want to say this is my second time speaking here to the men's group, and I want to thank Pastor and the men in this church. You guys have a strong, strong core of men that are here, and I want to thank you for having me back again. I'm going to move around because if I stand back there, I am going to go to sleep, okay? I'm a former fat guy, one of the linemen, okay? And right now I got to move around. So, you know, if you get tired, take a nap. There's nothing wrong with it. Tonight, what I want to share just a little bit, I'm going to share a little bit of a word that I have that I feel God has given me for you. But also after that, like Pastor said, I'm going to open it up. And if you have any questions about me, about police work, you know, about the Lord, I don't know everything, but I'll act like I do. Okay, so it's not a problem. As Pastor said, a little bit about me. I'm a policeman. I've been a police officer for almost 20 years now. I'm 45. I was canine in Charleroi Police Department. My canine and I were workers at Ground Zero after the attacks of 2001. And we went up there, and we were part of a search and rescue team. Prior to that, I had a little stint in the NFL as a Washington Redskin. I got cut, so I can't actually say I was a Redskin, but I can recite the Redskin fight song word for word. So if you want to hear it, I'll give it to you. I am a Steeler fan, okay, so don't worry about it. I'm originally from Bell Vernon. I'm part of North Huntington Township's patrol unit. I'm also part of our SWAT team. It's an emergency response team. Former bodybuilder, I'm a Israeli Krav Maga instructor, which is self-defense. So if you look at me, most people say, whoa, that dude's really something. But with all those accolades, if you come to my house, my office is full of trophies, and now my kids are starting, their trophies are starting to fill my office up and things like that, and all the memories that's on the wall. But you can have all of that. The biggest thing I want you to remember me as is a follower of Christ. I'm nothing without Christ. Believe me. Okay? Two weeks ago, I had some medicine that they prescribed to me. It was wrong medicine. It was sick. It blew me up to like 330 pounds. You know, I had temporary diabetes and all this stuff. It made me realize again just how nothing I am without Christ. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here as an example of what God can do, because I'm the most misfitted person, if there's such a word, that you're ever going to meet in your life. Okay? I am the goofball of all goofballs. Okay? But guess what? Oh, yeah, he's the great guy shaking his head. I got you beat if you knew my whole story. But what I want to share is, what is your image? Where's the men at today in this world? What image are you portraying as men? Like I said, I'm 45, so got to go with it. In today's world, the image of a man has been completely changed from God's image of a man. These don't even work anymore. the image of a man was and is to be. Today's world is looking and screaming for men who will stand up and show the image of a man that God has established for us as men. You can see the lack of God's image for a man in our homes, our schools, neighborhoods, communities, and even in our country. The lack of the true image of a godly man is being looked for in every shattered soul, every child born or raised without a father in their lives, and every woman's wish of a husband who would be the head of the household and love her as Christ loved the church. Homosexuality, divorce, drugs, pornography, greed, and many others are telling us this is the image of a man. But this is not the image of a man that God has said that what the image should be. Look at our world. I'm a policeman. I deal with the drugs. I'm not going to lie to you. Heroin is big in North Huntington Township. Okay. We're fighting a fight right now to legalize marijuana. People debate, should they, shouldn't they? Alcohol has been around for years. Okay. So many times, men has been portrayed in these capacities. Pornography. Divorce. But I'm here to tell you that is not what God wanted men to be portrayed as. Okay? And I'll show you why. God's image of a man can be first seen in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's clear one thing up. The Lord I serve is not an ape. Okay? I know some dudes that look like some apes, okay, but they ain't. All right? That was supposed to be funny, guys. You're supposed to laugh. Pastor, they're slow. God's image of a man was first to be in his likeness or an example and a representative of God. That's your calling. You were supposed to be an example, an image, a representation of your Lord and Savior. How can you be those things if you're not serving him? That's the number one call that God had when he created men. The next thing is, as men, we should always attempt and strive to follow the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must always strive for God's will to be done in our lives, in everything that we do. If we do this, then people will see the likeness of God in us, at home, on our jobs, in church, or wherever we go. That's my goal. Should be your goal. There's a song out right now by the J.J. Weeks Band that says, "Let them see you in me." That is my goal, and that's my walk every day, and that's my prayer. But guess what? Goofball that I am, sometimes they see Pootie. Because Pootie has an attitude. He can get mad. Okay? He can even use some language that he shouldn't use. I'm human. Pootie can fall and stumble. But guess what? I had a man put a cross on his back, fall and stumble for me, so that when I do fall and stumble, I can say, "Hey, Lord, forgive me. Pick me up out of the dirt. Clean me off and let me follow after you again." And that's what I try to do. Okay? Everybody good right now? You guys still awake? All right, I'm going to move on then. Next it says, in John 14, 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has the Father." That should be our goal. Lord, see, let people see you and me, because I can fail you. I can lie to you. It's my nature. My original father, Adam, when he sinned, we're all under this curse and we all can be sinful. But thank God, we have him. If I'm walking in God's will and serving and seeking him, the world will always see him in me. But we have to remember that when the world sees Christ in us, they will not always like or understand us. So we must be prepared to face ridicule, strife, turmoil, and persecution because we belong to Christ. Look, I'm a policeman. Every day I face turmoil and strife. Where's a cop when you need him? Why ain't you riding down on my street? Oh, you're probably eating donuts or drinking coffee. Okay? You know you took that money out of the evidence room. You know you did. All right? You know you got a girlfriend when you're married to your wife and doing this and doing that. Bop, 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 bop. Jesus said the world hated him first, so they're definitely going to hate us. Okay? And when we're portraying the image of Christ, it brings conviction. I heard it said before, you and God are a majority. So think about that. When you walk into your job or when you go home, okay, it's you and God. Thank God that you got this core. You may work with other believers, okay? But when you have God in your life, working in your life, you're going to face strife. You're going to be accused. You're going to be ridiculed. But I heard it said, they talked about Jesus. They ridiculed him. So it's no big deal. We can keep moving as men. Okay? Secondly, the second image that God placed, secondly, God made us to be a ruler, or he put us in a place of authority. When God put Adam in the garden, he gave him dominion or authority over everything. Okay? The Garden of Eden was Adam's home. Okay? So let's break this down into our living. Where is your first responsibility as a man of God? In your home. There's numerous preachers or, quote, men of God that are out saving the world and their family's dying. They don't have time for their kids. Well, I provide for my family. I work every day. I give them money. They don't ask for nothing. But families are dying because they're lacking a father. And the father lives in the house sometimes. I have two daughters. They're 15 and 11. I have to on a daily basis. Thank you. You smile. You feel my pain. Thank you. But, and thank God they look like their mother. They don't look like me. But on a daily basis, I have to reassure these women that I love them and that God loves them on a daily basis. Because if I don't, the world will tell them, I love you. Some guy out there swinging it. I love you, baby. I'll take you. Or the drug dealer, hey, I got something to make you feel real good. Why don't you shoot this or snort this or smoke this? Or why don't you drink this? They'll tell them how much they love them. But God established me as a man to be the head of my household. Not a dictator, not a supreme being, but the priest of my household. Something that really, like Pastor was saying, I lead a bunch of cops in a cop Bible study. I'm a deacon in my church. Something that really gets me going is the lack of leadership in men. Where's the men carrying their Bible in the church? There's nothing greater to see a man carrying a sword. I like Conan and all those sword movies. So like when you see Arnold like standing there with the sword, you know what I mean? Like, got the guns going, that is like bad. You know what I mean? That is cool. It's the same thing spiritually. Where's your sword at? There's nothing better than when a man is carrying his Bible and a man is worshiping with his family, praying with his family, reading his Bible to his family. Okay? There's a saying that says, when mom goes to church, part of the family goes. When dad goes to church, the whole family goes. Think about it. That's the image that I want people to see. I see you guys here with your kids. Awesome. Awesome. I can remember my dad. My dad is 6'4", Vietnam veteran. Okay? He's one of them crazy Vietnam dudes. Okay, he's a retired pipe fitter welder. He thinks he can beat the world up because he served in Vietnam. Okay? And I ain't afraid of nobody, and I'll fight for this country all over again. I love it. But the coolest thing I saw my dad was when he walked down, gave his life to Christ, and he come up a real man. And then he made the example for me to follow. It wasn't easy, but you know what? That's the image I saw. Forget all the 6'4" and the this and that, okay? I saw a man who followed after Christ. And that's what I'm telling you the image of a man is. Big news. Big news in the world today. Michael Sand, the first openly gay football player. Okay? That's big news. Here's big news. I'm an openly straight man. That's been married for 18 years. I got two kids. Okay? And I love my wife. She's the love of my life. She's the most beautiful thing in my life. Okay? That's big news. I don't care what you want to do because, see, everything's a choice. I was just telling guys in my cops group, you know, God doesn't hold a gun to our head or tie us up and say, you got to serve me. I can do whatever I want to do. I could be an adulterer. I could be a drug user. I could be a thief. I could be a murderer. That's a choice that I can make. But my choice is to follow after Christ. I choose to do it. I want to do it. There's nothing greater in this world. I've been up here as far as football and things like that. You know, I was this close to a Super Bowl ring. The ring I have on is just a conference ring. It's not a Super Bowl. I'll be like, is that a Super Bowl ring? No. I wish it was, but it ain't. But I choose to follow Christ because I love him. You know, I had to see at one time in my life that I'm nothing without him. I'm nothing without the Lord. I was saved at a young age. I was saved in, 10, 11. There's been a call in my life since I come out of the womb, basically. That's what my grandmother told me years and years ago. I didn't always follow after Christ. When I went to college, I was a walking party. I mean, you wanted to get down, and you wanted to chase the girls, and you wanted to drink and have a good old time? Call me. Let's do it. Let's grow. But see, I had a praying dad and a praying mother that got me through. That's what I'm calling you. You ever notice when a man prays for you, how awesome it really is? Where are you guys? Where are you men that God has called to be in His likeness or representative of Him? For so long we have allowed women, and there's nothing wrong with it, thank God for them, to take the lead. But in God's structure, He created Adam first to rule over His house or be the priest of His house. And then to the world. Because after God told Adam to name the animals and rule over them, and then He created Eve, He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the entire world. When you allow the Spirit of the living God to come in your heart and your life, you will be fruitful and multiply. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. How many people do you touch every day just with a, hey, how you doing? You ain't beating the Bible down their throat, but it's just your presence. And people will see God in you if you allow it. If you're one of these, I'm a Christian, I'm better than you, you know, dude, I don't want to be around you if you're like that. I'm the one laughing, joking. People can always tell. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. You know, I'm supposed to be this tough guy, this Billy Bad, but I will cry. I cried at Old Yeller. Anybody else with me? Come on. Oh, I saw one guy went, yeah, I did. One guy in the back went, yeah, I did. It's kind of like what Pastor says in the song, let's raise our hands. You ever see the guy? He's like, I'm good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But guys, what I want to tell you today, and I'm going to open it up, is where are we going as men, especially in America? You know, Tom Brokaw wrote a book about the greatest generation, the World War II generation. And I see a lot of you guys out here, the Vietnam generation. I can sit and talk to you for hours because to me, that generation were men. They got up, they went to work every day. They come home and they ate with their families. They talked with their families. They had their problems. A lot of the problems that we have now that I mentioned, it was back then. It just was hidden a lot more because men stood up and said, we're not going to let this happen. Men were trying to be the example. They went to church with their families. Nowadays, going to church is like, please, I'm not going to church. What do I want to go to church for? And let alone come to a men's group, a wild game feed? Come on. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Today is the day. Let's be men. Let's show this world who we are. Not in ourselves, because we're weak in ourselves. We're all getting old. Okay? But the Christ and the God in us is what we need to portray to our younger generation. Because if we don't show them, this world will show them. Believe me. I done put too many young teenage kids, boys and girls, in body bags. OD from heroin. I've seen too many kids crying for love from a father, even after he beat them half senseless. I've seen it in women, the same thing. Then I've seen the fathers that will stand in the gap for their family, stand in the gap for their wives, stand in the gap for their children, stand in the gap for their church, stand in the gap for their country. I can't go to the White House and grab the president and like slam him down or anything like that. I may want to, but let's not let that out, okay? I didn't say that. Pastor said that. It was recorded. I ain't saying nothing else of that. But you know what? I can pray. I can get down on my knees and pray. Whether I like him or not. I don't like him, but I didn't say that either. But I can pray for the leadership in this country. I can pray for the leadership in North Huntington Township. Okay, I may not like it. And I'm not going to, you know, go with the flow. Okay, I'm going to stand for what's right and what God wants. But see, that's when I'm the strongest. And that's the image that God is portraying in our lives. That's what he wants to do. This is something that I think a godly man, a man that is trying to portray the image of Christ should be. And this is what it says. We must show the world, our nation, our communities, and our homes first who and what God is. When we are truly being a man of God, we will impact our families, our community, and the world we live in. The Apostle Paul was one man. He shook up the world. One man. Think about the men. One man. You know, we always think, well, if we got 100 or 1,000 or we got 1,000,000 guys, we can do this. One man can change the world. One man can do it. Look at our Savior. You say, oh, but he's God. Yes, he's fully God, but he was fully man. He faced persecution just like we face it. So we could face it and get through it. But let's think about it here. This man come to earth, told him about his father, told him about everything about heaven. He showed him heaven in signs, wonders, and miracles. And what did they do to him? They beat him. They killed him. But praise God, on the third day he rose for my behalf and your behalf too. This is what you all should be. When a man is truly the image of what God should be in God's plan, when his feet hit the floor each morning, the devil says, oh crap, he's up. When a godly man steps out of his door each day, heaven, earth, and hell take notice. Think about it. We ain't supposed to be afraid of the devil, because my Bible says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, meaning the devil. Jesus Christ that's in me is greater than he that's in the world, which is the devil. So guess what? The alarm goes off. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, man, this dude's up now. That's how it should be. But you know what? So many times we like, I'm up now. Now I got to face this or now I got to face that. Know your image as a man. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Then, And when you do, and when you know your role and know your image, like I said, heaven, earth, and hell take notice. When he protects the woman under his care, she can do little to resist him. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm a fine human being. Okay? When you look at me, I'm fine. Okay? I am sexy, and I am hot. I know, you know, it's hard to believe, but it's true. All right, I'm one of the ugliest dudes going and I know, I'm kidding. But what makes me masculine is my Savior, my Lord. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. And my wife, if she was here, she can attest. If you looked at my legs, I have what I call NFL legs. I'm totally black and blue. I was a center. I've been cleated 3-4 times. I mean, they're just nasty. My feet are destroyed. I always tease my wife and say, you married me for my sexy feet, don't you? She's like, yeah, anywho. Point I'm making is, if your wife sees God in your life, sees you praying, sees you in your word, fellas, she can't resist you. Take that, okay? Try it. When you get home tonight, say, hey, baby, let's get in the word a little bit. Say, hey, baby, it's time for bed. Let's go, you know, do what we got to do. You understand? Try it. You guys didn't get it anyhow. All right. She can do little to resist him, okay? His children look to him with confidence. Other men look to him as someone to emulate. His church calls on him for strength and leadership. He is a preserver of culture and a champion of society to keep evil out and usher in good. A godly man understands that God never said a godly life would be easy. He just said it would be worth it. Like a football player erupting from the tunnel at the start of a game, so starts a godly man each day. Not only does he take the field in an explosion of fire, and we know where that fire comes from, the fire of the Holy Spirit, but he dominates all opposition that rises against him. A godly man zeroes in on purpose and only, and one purpose only. advancing the kingdom for the betterment of those within it, which glorifies the king. And he will pursue this at whatever personal cost. That was a statement from Dr. Tony Evans in his book, Kingdom Man. That just blew my mind. When he said, when you wake up, the devil says, oh, crap, he's up. I was like, whoa. That's like, get your bad on there. You know, like, yeah, you know. This is what we should strive to do every day. I'm not, like I said, I'm not perfect. I got a big mouth. I yell. My kids see it. But the biggest thing, I want my kids and my wife to see Christ in me. But they also can see that daddy could be weak sometimes. Daddy can fall. Daddy's human. They're learning now, preparing them for if they get married, that one day I may have a man as my husband. And I have to be standing next to him. He may fall. And I might have to pick him up. They're seeing that in me. Okay? I'm not one to where I'm a tough guy to where I can't cry. I'm a big crier. I'll cry at the drop, you know. Especially when I see a little kid or something like that. They know they got to get me away. You know, if I see a grown adult hurt a child, it's time for me to walk out and send the sergeant in. Sarge, you handle it because I'm gonna get, you know, have problems here. That's just me. But what I want to say, the God I serve is not a drug user, an alcoholic, a homosexual. He has not divorced his bride, the church. He is not full of greed, and he is not addicted to pornography or any other sin, because there is no sin in him. The God, he is, bear with me, the advocate, Shiloh, the resurrection and the life, shepherd and bishop of souls, judge, master, Lord of lords, rock, man of sorrows, savior, head of the church, faithful and true witness, servant, high priest, living water, bread of life, rose of Sharon, Messiah, Alpha and Omega, true vine, teacher, holy one, he's I am, mediator, the beloved, son of God, good shepherd, branch, light of the world, the almighty, carpenter, image of the invisible God, the door, the word, bridegroom, chief cornerstone, redeemer, author and finisher of our faith, everlasting father, lamb of God, king of kings, lion of the tribe of Judah, anchor, prophet, only begotten son, wonderful counselor, Emmanuel, son of God, dayspring, the amen, king of the Jews, bright morning star, prince of peace. He's the way, the truth, and the life. What he is, he's Jesus Christ. He is the true image of a godly man because he is God, but he is also a man. And he is who I try to pattern my life after. Before I open it up for any question, anything like that, every time I talk to any groups, I want to share a blessing that was given to me, and I know God wants me to give it to you. So I'm going to ask you to listen to me and open your heart up. This is not from me. I believe this is from God. And if you want it, it's here for you. On December 23rd, 2013, I was sitting in my bedroom, and I was in my prayer time. I was sitting and I was praying, and I was praying, and I was praying. I don't even remember what I was praying for. But it got so heavy. My prayer time got so heavy. It was on my heart. I could almost feel my heart. Boom, 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 boom. Just go, my heart was racing. My heart was racing. All of a sudden, I heard in here, not here, in here, I heard the Lord tell me, if you're obedient to me, I'll make two things. He said, this coming year, one of the greatest years that you ever had in your lifetime. Fellas, it don't matter how old you are or how many years you got. I'm telling you right now, if you are obedient to God, he will make this year one of the greatest years that you've ever had in your lifetime. If you're 2 years old, if you're 200 years old, because he's the God of the young and he's the God of the old. How are you obedient to Christ or to him? You're in his word. You're spending time with him. You ever notice, in order to know someone, you got to talk to him. You got to spend time with him. How can you spend time with God? Be in his word. Pray. I'm telling you. This time, These times, I believe Pastor and I were saying, these are the end times, fellas. Whether you believe it or not, I believe that Christ is coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Okay? If you've never known Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, today's the day. Today is the day. We were talking about a guy who's been a big knucklehead in the community for years and a pain in the rear for the police department. I remember giving him an opportunity, sharing with him about Christ. He died. I don't know if he accepted Christ or not. Don't take the chance. Don't leave here tonight without knowing where you're going for eternity. The average age of us guys is 75. Some are older. My father-in-law is 90. He's going to be 90 March 29th. But I'm not going to take the chance of walking out these doors, getting in an accident, okay, or somehow facing eternity and not knowing where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I would ask that everybody bow their head with me. Get real serious, fellas. The Bible says in Romans, the book of Romans, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Fellas, this is eternity. 75 years is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. I've made my choice. God, I want to be the image of you. So I ask that everybody, whether you did this or not, because we don't want to embarrass or single anybody out, I ask everybody would pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. You said if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died on the cross for my sins, I will be saved. And Father, I confess now, and I do believe in my heart, that you died on the cross for my sins. You are my Savior and my Lord. And from this day forward, from this moment forward, I'm a new creature in Christ. No matter what I've done in my past, no matter how bad, you died and forgiven me of it. And now, Lord, I thank you. And I give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Fellas, I want to tell you something. When you did that for the first time, just like when the angels came when he was born and they appeared in the sky and they had a heavenly party, they're having a heavenly party for you right now if you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. Now, I would tell you, if you're a member of this church or something like that, get in a good Bible preaching church so that you can grow. You guys got a core here that's out of this world. Jim, when I saw you, could you stand up for a minute? Jim, in the back. Uh-huh. I'm calling you out, brother. Look at the shoulders on this guy. Take your hands out of your pocket, Jim. Look at the hands, the meat hooks on this guy, okay? That's one dude I don't want to fight, all right? But you know what? When I walked in this church, I saw, I've met him twice, right? I met you last time, I think, when I was here before. Maybe not. No, this is the first time. When I saw him, I saw a man after God's own heart. I saw a man that is portraying the image of what God wants. Of course, everybody's going to see them. Pastor, Pastor's the closest thing to God we got in here. You know, that's supposed to be funny, Pastor, but all right. But Jim, I want to thank you for being that image. And there's so many others in here that I saw the image of God in. Okay? Continue to do it. Let the world see Jesus in you. Okay? Questions? All right, then. No, I'm kidding. Anybody got any questions for me? Anything you want to ask? Yes, sir.
Do you personally know any of the volunteer firemen from Rossville or volunteer
firemen? You know what? If I forgot, I do know some personally, but I don't remember. I mean, like, I've been out of the valley for so long. Like, I'm from Bell Vernon, Charleroi. If I would see their faces, I'd be like, hey, dude, what's happening? So, yeah, you know. Okay, are you from that area? What's his name?
Joe Romney, they call him Cuckoo. That's his nickname from the fire hall, although for as many years as I worked with him, I not only didn't know he had a nickname there, I didn't know what it was. But
wow.
6 degrees of separation, I found out.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured
yeah, I may know him or see him. but I don't remember the name. Yeah, not a problem. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah.
And the question I had was, how can we pray for you as a police officer? I think you probably have the toughest job in here. So just for you and other officers, how can we pray for you?
If to answer that, pray for to give us strength. You know, and I'm saying us as policemen as a whole. We have a burnout rate that is just out of this world. You figure, and North Huntington Township is a great community, but if I meet 9 or 10 people on a daily basis, 9 out of those or 9.5 aren't pretty good people. That one person, you know, this township's so big, you know, there's great people here, and that's what you do this job for. But just pray for God's strength, God's wisdom. I believe police officers are ordained by God to do this, to see it, and it says it in Scripture about us carrying a sword and things like that, call us rulers. But to answer your question, to pray, just pray for God's strength in us, God's wisdom. The thing for police officers is we're adulterers, we're alcoholics, now the drugs are getting big. A lot of police officers commit suicide, but it's hidden because it's the cleaning the gun and the gun went off. We have yearly updates that we have, classes that we have to do. And the number of police officers that commit suicide will blow your mind because it gets to the point. And you know, here until the last couple of days, I was in that. It happens. It comes in cycles. You get burnt out. You just get burnt out of, I got this problem, and I got that problem, and well, you know what? I got that problem, too. But you know what? That's what we chose this job, you know. So just pray for strength. And I would pray for God's revival. I think more police officers need to be following Christ, you know, and not the example of, yeah, my shift's done. Hey, I'll meet you guys at the bar. Let's go crack a couple cold ones and hang out and talk about this idiot we deal with. No, but we need God's strength, definitely. For me personally, pray for me. I need it. Okay, I'm always getting beat up. 2 weeks ago, they gave me a bad, like I told you, bad thing of medicine. Gave me diabetes, everything. You know what I mean? Right now, I was in shape. I'm a martial arts instructor. I couldn't walk around this building right now. Okay, that's the kind of shape I'm in. I'm sitting, I'm like, whew, it's hot in here. But, yeah, just pray for me, you know, and my family. I didn't hear you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Short of the maybe lack of spirituality in today's courses, in real world application, what's the biggest challenge on a whole, personally, but as a conglomerate, does the force face?
Drugs. Drugs. I'll tell you, there's a couple. Drugs, greed.
Among the officers?
No. In that we face. And I'll get to the officers, but the biggest thing is drugs, greed, corruption, you know, in society. As far as in the police department, every police department is different. I have a lot of guys that are troopers. My brother, my adopted brother, is a retired trooper. The biggest thing is pride. Pride. Who was the father of pride? The enemy. Hey, I'm better than you. You know, I can do this better than you. Pride is the biggest thing. You know, and sometimes you have to swallow your pride. Sometimes you got a guy that's screaming at you in your face that you want to just knock his teeth out. Okay? But you got to step back into that humble role and say, and I feel you because he's hurting inside. For his daughter that was just OD'd and died. You see it? So, you know, we got to be humble. Christ was humble. Most people in the Bible were humble hearts. Yeah, they were mighty men. David was a mighty man. David had mighty men. The company that I'm trying to start up is called Benjamite Consultants. The Benjamites in the Bible were warriors. That's because of my martial arts company, and that's the name of that company. So, but my biggest thing is pride. We got to be humble, you know. Anybody else? Come on, somebody else better ask me a question. Football, oh, there we go. Until they put a piece of tape on my mouth. And they better bring three or four. And I don't say that arrogantly or cocky. I'm going to share. And I've been persecuted for it. Believe me. I went through an incident with in my department where I was made out to be a thief, a liar. Okay, because and you're supposed to be a Christian, you know. I have to be Christ-like. From the loud mouth, this is what the Bible says, to the, hey, how you doing? Is everything okay with you? I hope you get through dealing with your mom and her cancer or something like that. So my biggest thing is try to be an example. And like I said, I fell a lot of times. You know, I got a temper, as many of us do. We're men, you know. Somebody pushes me in a corner, ding, ding. You know, but the biggest thing that I do, and I try to share with you guys, I try to stay humble. I try to stay in my word, in my prayer time, because that shows me how to be a servant of Christ in the capacity of a public servant. You know, and you nailed it. The key word is public servant. A lot of guys don't want to serve. They want to be served. You know, and that's where Christ said, I come to serve. Now, when he comes back the next time, he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Does that answer your question? Question? Yes, sir. No, he's older than me. He was actually, I believe he was like a consultant. He wasn't yet a coach. My career with the Redskins was like this. I was a free agent from West Virginia State University, okay?
I remember seeing you.
That was my career with the I call it divine intervention, because Charlie Taylor, who's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, was the coach that quote-unquote recruited me. And a lot of NFL teams will get guys from smaller schools, and they'll hide them in their system to where somebody else doesn't take them. You know, when I went to camp, I was a center. There was five centers they brought into camp. Okay. I was number five. Okay. And not toot my own horn. I should have been number one, Lord. But anyhow, no, I'm kidding. But that was basically my career. I got cut with the Redskins. My midget league quarterback was Scott Zolak. Scott Zolak was a Patriot. It was a quarterback for the Patriots. So Scotty took me up. I spent a week with him. I got a deal with the Patriots. I was going to camp with the Patriots. Bill Parcells took over as the head coach, and he wiped out every recruit that they had because they were losers. So that deal didn't happen. Jim Haslett was the head coach of the Sacramento Surge of the old World League, the original World League. I signed after that with the Sacramento Surge. Your tickets are on their way. Get ready to go. Couple weeks later, coach, where's my tickets? World League's folding. They're going to restructure. God didn't want me in the NFL because I wouldn't be here today. Because I was an idiot. Okay? So, no, but Russ wasn't there when I was there. Questions? Other questions? Yes, sir. I'm sorry?
Do you get to work with the K-9 officer?
Yes. Yes, the guy that I'm steady with is Jeremy Nichols. He's our canine officer, and I have, of course, I was canine for 10 years, so I have the utmost respect for the dogs. I mean, there's no better partner than a dog, you know, and people are now seeing, you know, the value of a dog. Now, I'm going to tell you, they do go overboard with these canines sometimes, okay? He's a tool. I would rather a canine lose his life than a human being. You understand what I'm saying? We'll leave it at that. All right? My partner was in, it was, I spent more time with that dog than I did with my wife and kids. He was a part of me. Okay? Loved him to death. But he's still a dog. He's not a human being. Okay? So I just skirted around that question if it arises. Okay? All right? Next question. Somebody tell me something. How's my time anyway? Am I good? Oh, okay. Yes, sir. When was my life most in danger as a police officer? A couple occasions. And I love to share this testimony. You'll love this. I was working Ross Draver Township, where I'm born and raised, police department. I'll never forget it. Midnight shift. New police officer. Just felt something weird in the air. That premonition that they say, I know what it is now. It's a good Lord. Denora and Ross Draver are across the river from one another. The Denora-Manesson Bridge. Denora has, was it Denora on the stop? Denora had a car stopped on the bridge, midpoint. Half of that was ours, half of that was theirs. So there was three of us working Ross Draver. We go, two Denora guys, we go, just this. We were so bored. There was not a call. It was like the dead of the night at 9 o'clock. Nothing was dead. We go, something to do. You know, cop for Nebby, like, hey, what are you doing? We didn't have to be there, but we went. Anyhow, car stopped. Denora car. Ross Draver car. I roll in. Okay, right here. All of a sudden, I go, typical, got my vest on everything. I open my door, and just as I go with my foot to push the door, I felt two hands grab me and pull me across the seat. As that happened, a car, I guess they estimate about 115, took my door off, smashed the back of into the back of the Ross Draver car, hit so hard that the guy that was in the car, his head bounced back, and we had the old cages. He had lines in his head where the indentation come from. The very least, I should have lost a leg. I should have been dead. That's just one. There's been a few. And I don't say that. Like, I'm a tough guy. I'm not saying that. Got out of the car, and I'll never, and the guy actually, he was so high, I think he was on, I don't know if he was on meth or he was drinking, but he actually, when he hit, he put his face through the windshield and he pulled it back out and was looking at me. Okay? So you want to say drugs are fun or they should be legal? No. Believe me. That was one incident. There's a few that I don't wish to share, you know what I mean? But, you know, that was probably that. I've had guns. I've been in some scrapes where, you know, with some knives and things like that, you know what I mean? But praise God, his protection has been on me, you know. I mean, there's a lot, guys. I'm thankful that the police department I work in, I'm not just a couple miles down the road where guys are getting shot at on a daily basis or, you know, in Los Angeles or things like that. So, you know. You got a question? Loud and proud, man. What is it? What made me become a policeman? How old are you? 9. Do you know what you want to do? What do you want to be when you get older? Ooh, dude, nice. When I was 5 years old, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a football player, a policeman, and an astronaut. I've been a football player, I'm a policeman, and they might need security in space, so don't count me out. Don't count me out yet. But what made me want, I always wanted to be a policeman. You know, I always, and it isn't like I had family that were policemen. Right now, I'm the only, other than some cousins, I'm the only policeman in my family. It's just something I always wanted to do. I believe God called me to do it. And that's why I became a policeman. Just something I wanted to do and I liked it. Just like you want to be an engineer? And I would tell you, be an engineer. Anybody else? Yes, sir. A human role model. Huh. That means, you know what? Not really. There's guys that I admire. These would be role models. A couple guys early in my career, when I saw them in uniform, they just looked like giants, you know, that spit shine uniform. Probably the biggest role model is my dad. You know, he would be the number one, the role model. Story I always tell is, and I tie this into the spiritual, it was my last college football game. We were playing Central State in Ohio. They were like winning national championships. We were Division I AA, and they were just awesome. And all week, the guy that I was, our offense was set up to where the linebacker, I was a guard at this game, the linebacker was across from me, and he shadowed our big running back. Well, my job was to shadow him. I was the go-between between him and our running back. All week, they were calling this guy the next Lawrence Taylor. And he turned out to be, he didn't make it in the NFL, but he made it in Canada. He was like the four-time Canadian Defensive Player of the Year. Bad dude. Thousands of people in the crowd. I played in front of, you know, nothing like, you know, Michigan at the Big House or anything like that, but I played in front of a few thousand people. The one voice I could hear out of all other voices was my dad's voice. I heard there was bands playing, there was crowd, you know, everything. But when my dad called me, I could pick his voice out of every other voice. That's, now look at that on a spiritual sense. You should know the voice of your Father, your Heavenly Father. When He speaks to you, you should be able to pick His voice out of any voice, no matter what. And I want to give you the joke end of this. My dad didn't say, "Hey, Pootie," or "Hey, Al." It was, "Hey, fat boy." That's what it was. And when I heard, "Hey, fat boy," I'm telling you, that's a true story. I'm telling you, that was my dad, you know. So he's probably my role model, you know. Yeah, he would be my role model, definitely. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yes, in North Huntington Township, they are mandatory. They buy them for us, so we have to wear a vest. And I still have the letter to this day. My wife wrote me a letter when we were dating at the time, and she I said my scrapbook about how much she loves me, and she wanted me to always wear my vest. And I made a promise to her, whether it was mandatory or not, I would always wear a vest. Coolest thing is being on our SWAT team. We got all the cool stuff. And when you say about the armor of God, when we put that gear on, I mean, we look like robots. The trooper that was shot in Latrobe, he lost his eye, Brian King, a couple months back, he had it on the news, very, very good friend of mine. Now the helmets that we wear are like full-faced. We look like actually Halo, where you guys have played a video game. It's pretty cool looking. I mean, it's like, yeah, you know. So, yes, I do wear a vest. And if it wasn't mandatory, I would, you know. And a lot of people say, aren't they hot and uncomfortable? Well, I'd rather be hot and uncomfortable than dead and cold. Anybody else? Yes, sir. One in the blue first. Big time. Just in my 19, 20 years. When I first broke out into law enforcement, you got in, you had a radio. Always had a cup holder. Always got to have a drink or a cough or coffee. Shotgun, maybe. That was about it. Now, in today's cars, like the newer cars, we got a shotgun. We have an AR-15. We have our police radio. We have an EMS radio. We have a county radio. We have a laptop computer in there, okay, too. The technology in the cars, too. You know, they put the chip in them. They go a little bit faster. Then we're always fun. But that's kind of how. And then the cages behind us, you don't see very many of the cages, so to speak, because of spitting and things like that. It's more the plexiglass. So that, and then now we've went from regular sedans, we still have them, to station wagons. Now we have SUVs. We have two Explorers that we drive, actually. So that's how they change. Right there, sir. Mm-hmm. It breaks your heart because you see kids that are making mistakes that you know are going to lead them to two things, death or jail. And you try to tell them that you don't know anything. You know, you're stupid. You're just some cop. You know, I can't trust you. Or, you know, I don't like you because you're a no good cop or whatever. You know, it breaks your heart. I've had numerous opportunities. And I actually was laughed at by someone for sharing Christ. But you know what? I got to do what I got to do. True story, just here in the last couple weeks, say last month or so, I assisted the state police with a pedophile. This was his second or third offense. We took him into custody. I assisted state police because they sent down one guy, so I rode with him. We took him to the barracks. in the barracks up there, God gave me the opportunity. And this is not a pat on my back. This is glory to God. This guy's going away for the rest of his life. Okay, as he should, for the crime he committed. You know what I mean? And like I told him, but I had the opportunity to share Christ with him. And I told him, I said, you got a problem. And the only one that's going to fix your problem is Jesus. Okay? And I made sure I said Jesus because a lot of people will worship that flower arrangement. Because that could be their God. I stress who my God is. It's Jesus. I shared with him. I said, and I'm telling you right now, when you get in that cell tonight, you get down on your knees and you seek him. Because you know what? That's the only way that's going to make you better. And eternity is bigger than this thing right here. So, yes, I've had a lot of opportunities. Some people have taken it. And I want to tell you, 9, maybe 8 out of 10 people will thank you and accept you for it. Or accept what you're saying. I've had people cry. I've had people taking them to Westmoreland County Prison saying, look, this is your opportunity. You know, because remember, fellas, the same sinful nature that's in them is in us too. But we crucify that with Christ and allow him to come and control our nature. Anybody else? Any other questions? Oh, right here? Where you at? Yes, sir. I'm 45. I accepted him probably when I was anywhere from 8 to 10 years old. That's when I accepted him as my Savior and Lord. And like I said, I didn't always serve God. Okay? There came a point, and I'm going to close with this. There came a point in my life where I allowed my job to rule me. And I told God, in a sense, I don't need you. I got this. I know who you are. I know what you are. I'm going to take you and put you on the shelf. I got this. Remember I told you about the pride? I can handle this. Give me a fight. I can handle myself in a fight. I can shoot at the time. I can run. I can do whatever. I don't need you, God. You're not going to tell me what to do. I don't need this word. I want to party with the boys. I want to chase the women. My wife's fine. My kids are fine. I don't need that. But see, God showed me. And what it took was my wife's birthday, September 18th. Yeah, I'll take you out to dinner. All of a sudden, she took me to, we had to go to Giant Eagle for something. All of a sudden, the world started spinning. I had a pain in my stomach that was out of this. I felt like somebody, there was a fire in there. Broke out sweat, dying. I get home, I tell my wife, I got to lay down. I'm sick. I don't know what it is, I'm sick. Okay, lay down. All of a sudden, I get up. I said, either you get me to the hospital or I'm going to die right now. She takes me to the hospital. All of a sudden, they get me in an ambulance. I'm headed to Pittsburgh, West Penn. You're having a stroke. We don't get you there, you're going to die. They get me to West Penn Hospital. They put me through every stroke test you could ever have. Chris Letang. Everybody knows who Chris Letang is? Great hockey player. Had a tear in his heart. Let me tell you a little bit about that. That a woman doctor in Pittsburgh is the one that invented that test. Teddy Bruschi, that played for the Patriots, he had a tear in his heart. It was behind, a lot of strokes are behind the heart. They're tears. We never knew that for years. Just useless information, but I wanted you to share it with that. But anyhow, they took me down. They gave me every stroke test possible. I didn't have a stroke. I had every symptom. Weakness, you name it. On the left side. What's wrong? Put flat. I couldn't hold my head up off the bed. If I stood up, boom, fell back down. Went to this specialist, that specialist. What's wrong with you? This all happened in a matter of 14 days. What's wrong with me? Then you start thinking you're crazy. Something's wrong with me mentally. But what I did was I said, okay, God, I can't live this life without you. I can't serve two masters. I can't serve the world and say that I love you. I got to serve you and love you. So what I did, and that's one thing I jammed down people's throat, is know the Word of God. Read the Word of God. I prayed Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6 over myself every day every day. Lord, by the beating and the stripes that you took, I am made whole and I am made healthy. I repented of my sins to God. I repented of my sins to my wife. And God raised me up. It was a process. But finally, God showed me. And my mother always said this to me. Sometimes God will put you on your back so the only place you can look is up. I don't want to be on my back no more. But if he wants to put me there, he will. I want to always look up, whether I'm standing, laying, sitting. I want to keep focused on him. Fellas, thank you for this opportunity. This is my second time here. And like I said last time, come on up, Pastor. I feel like home every time I'm here.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you. Okay.